Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Welcome to Faith in the Zone, a show about sports and faith and how the two come together in lives being touched. Right now, discover how people in sports walk in faith with host Mike McGivern and Pastor Ken Keltner on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
All this time, you covered me.
Welcome to Faith in the Zone on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. I'm Mike McGivern alongside Pastor Ken Keltner from Brookside Baptist Church. Pastor, how you been?
I'm doing great, Mike.
Man, it's good to see you.
Yeah, it's good to see you.
Hey, you know, a lot of times we'll have on a guy that grew up in Oklahoma, and it's you and the guy from Oklahoma against me. Well, guess what? Today it's two Irishmen against you, pal. That's all I'm saying. It's our special guest. He is almost as Irish as I am, and that makes me smile. He is Joe Philbin, former coach for the Packers, Dolphins, and the Colts. He coached in college. He was part of the staff on the Packers that beat the Steelers February 6, 2011, in the Super Bowl game. I'll never forget. Joe Philbin, how you doing today, sir?
I'm doing great. How about yourselves?
Man, I'm doing really good.
I'm doing really well too.
Well, Pastor, what's with the hand signals?
Thank you.
You need to borrow the pen. Just say it. It's all right. Hey, Joe, Pastor is almost always prepared. Came without a headset. Came without a pen. He can't find his glasses.
But I did, Joe, come with donuts for everybody this morning. So
yeah, and I don't eat donuts. I try not to eat them anymore, Coach.
Sounds like he might have to put him on the bench, Mike.
You know what? I've tried to put him on the bench for years. And it just seems, Coach, every time I put him on the bench, all of a sudden I got to take him off the bench and he thinks he's a starter again. You know what he is sometimes? He's the backup holder. He is the backup holder for, extra points only. Not even field goals, Coach.
But let me tell you, a backup holder, that could be pretty important in a big game. Especially where they're kicking those extra points now. Yeah. Right, Coach?
The station ran out of cap space. You guys don't have any more space.
We got no space, but he brings donuts, so I got to let him in the door, man. That's what's happening here, okay. Coach. He pays his way in through pastries, which is just a really, really important way to get this done. Hey, Joe, let's talk a little bit about your background and where you grew up and how you ended up in Green Bay. And I've read some articles about your feeling on that community and that team. But let's talk a little bit about early on your background and where you grew up and went to school.
Sure. Well, I was grew up in Massachusetts, in the western part of the state, Springfield, Massachusetts area. I was one of six children. My parents, three or four of my grandparents were immigrants from Ireland. And so, my mom was the first one. She was a teacher, first one in the family to go to college. And so, great family background in Massachusetts, went to school there. I went to a school, Mike, in back in the East Coast, I wasn't a very good student nor a very good athlete. And so sometimes in the East Coast, they have these, what they call postgraduate years, which are, like instead of a junior college, it's an extra year of high school. And when I was there, I met some, really influential people that helped me a great deal, not only to, mature as a athlete and a student, but as a person and then ultimately professionally. So at that school, Worcester Academy, I met Mike Sherman, who would go on to be the head coach of the Green Bay Packers. Kirk Ferentz was a teacher at the school who went on to be the head coach at the University of Iowa. And a gentleman by the name of Ken O'Keefe, who I worked for at a college called Allegheny College, and subsequently at the University of Iowa as well. So I went there. I went to college at Washington Jefferson College, a small school, kind of like a St. Norbert College, if you will,
sure,
in Green Bay, Wisconsin. You know, Roger Goodell, the commissioner of the NFL, was a senior when I was a freshman. So it's a nice small Division III school. And then really, you know, kind of embarked on my coaching career after that.
Hey, I'll tell you, I'm reading an article and doing some prep work for the show. Coach Ferentz said of Joe Philbin, serious and smart. And then, even though he got a really good education, he let it all go down the drain and got into coaching. And I laughed really hard at that quote. But I have to tell you really quickly, I was asked a couple years ago to be a guest speaker up at the high school clinic here in Middleton, the Wisconsin Football Coaches Association clinic. And it was Kurt Ferentz was the first speaker. Then I came second, and then the head coach for Wisconsin came third. So somebody in that group doesn't really fit, and that would be me. And
right,
I'm standing off to the side as Coach Ferentz is getting done, and he said, "Look, guys, in closing, there's all high school football coaches in the room." He said, "In closing, this is where it really starts. You guys really start the ball rolling, and you make my job easier as a college coach with how well you guys coach up these kids. But do me one favor. Don't listen to the outside noise. Never listen to those media people. They have no idea what they're talking about. Okay, thanks a lot. Have a good day." And then I get introduced, and Coach Ferentz is standing right there. And I go, "Hey, Coach, you know, I appreciate the ringing endorsement. I'm a media guy." And he just turned red. He goes, "Man, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean this guy." I said, "Why are they all leaving, Coach?" It was very funny. But I sat and listened to him. Boy, he was really, really good. And he's a good coach.
Yeah. Kirk's, you know, the thing, you know, that I appreciated about working for him, a couple things, you know, I was around him in 1979 and 1980 as a student, and then worked for him from 1999 to 2002. And I would tell you that, you know, he's really the same character of the man, really didn't change in 20 years, only got better. And the 4 years we were at Iowa, I think my first year we were 1-10 or 1-11, and my last year we were a reverse 11-1. And Kirk was really the same guy throughout it all, you know. So that's something that, you know, I particularly value, some, you know, consistency in the type of human being you are. And it's not just wins and losses, and you're a great guy when you're winning and you're a tyrant when you're losing, you know. So, you know, that's one of the great things about Kirk.
Hey, Coach, do you think growing up in Springfield, Mass, wait, is that why Green Bay was such a great fit for you?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, Springfield's maybe a little bit bigger community than
right.
Green Bay, but, you know, good, honest, hardworking people. And, you know, when we were in Iowa City, Iowa, prior to going to Green Bay, and, you know, when I contemplated leaving college football, quite honestly, with six children of my own at that point in time, I really didn't have the resources to go to a lot of the cities to be a pro coach, you know, but from and I didn't go to Green Bay for any extra money whatsoever. I probably could have made maybe even more money staying at Iowa that first year anyway. And so my point was, you know, I knew it was a great community. I knew Mike Sherman was the kind of person that I wanted to be associated with. And obviously the Packer franchise is, you know, one of the gold standards in the NFL. So, you know, didn't make the decision easy, but it certainly made it easier.
You know, again, Pastor, in a number of these articles that I've read and doing research on Coach Philbin, I highlighted a couple of quotes from different people, and one was from Randall Cobb, and he said it's one of those things where you don't feel like you're working for him when he's talking about Coach Philbin. He said you feel like you're working with him, and I for a you know, an all-pro receiver like Randall Cobb, who did great things here with the Packers, for him to say, look, it never felt like I was working for him, but I was working with him, I think is a great statement.
I think so, and that is a great reputation, Coach, when players you know, are not playing in fear of someone. They're playing because they love them, and that's what it sounds like has kind of been your journey. I got one. How many years were you there at Iowa?
4 years. We went in, I think, December of 98, so the 99 season, 2000, 2001, 2002, and then we came to Green Bay in February of 2003. And kind of the neat thing for me and Diane, my wife, we had five sons in a row, and our daughter Colleen was born in Iowa City at the University of Iowa Hospital. And you know, last month we dropped her off there as a freshman. So kind of cool, and she's actually working in the football office for Coach Ferentz and some of the coaches that were there when I was there. So that's kind of a neat thing for us as parents.
Hey, real quick, how was that drive for you guys to drop her off? Was that a tough ride back for you guys?
Well, you know, it was the first college drop-off I ever made, you know, because, you know, I've been coaching 35 straight years, so the other five children, I wasn't really there for the drop-off at college. Yes and no, it was, but she was, you know, she's an independent young lady, and she knew this is what she really wanted to do. I think it was the only school she really applied to. She had looked at some other schools, but you know, I think she had a comfort level of being there, which I think made it a little bit easier for Diane and I to kind of say our goodbyes. But yeah, you know, it was emotional on the goodbyes. But, you know, so far, so good, the early reports back.
I remember those days, Coach, and I usually made sure I had sunglasses on when I drove off because it was not easy. We had some folks within our church who were dropping off their first to college, and he asked me, he said, does it get any easier with any of the other kids? I go, no, you still need sunglasses all the way through it.
Right. Right.
Hey, you know, we have two children, my wife and I, and four grandkids, Joe and our oldest, Katie, she went to Maranatha Baptist Bible College about 45 minutes from our house. And she said on the way up there, she said, hey, look, I'm starting a new chapter in my life, so please don't call or write me for 30 days. And I said, okay, no worries. My wife is crying, and I'm like, yeah, I'm all right with that. And 30 days later, we go and take her to lunch, and she was not being nice. We're in like a Culver's, just a hamburger place, in the middle of a Sunday, and it's really crowded. And I hit the table kind of loud, and I said, who are you talking to like that? I said, get your food, put it in the bag. I'm going to drop you back off on campus, and don't call or write me for 30 days. And about 10 minutes later, she called. She's like, I'm so sorry. I don't know what. And I just thought, man, you know what? She needed a little time away, and she thinks she's all grown up, but she's not. Guys, we're going to get to a break. Other side of the break, our special guest is Joe Philbin, former coach of the Packers, Dolphins, Colts, some college, as we talked about with Iowa, some college gigs as well. For me, I'm going to thank him throughout the show for that win against the Steelers. February 6, 2011, that was a good, good day, and I'm sure it was for Coach Philbin as well. We're going to get to a break. Other side, we're going to talk to him a little bit about his walk and his journey, and we'll continue to talk a little bit about some of the football sides, and there's been some personal heartache for Coach Philbin along the way that we're going to have to discuss on a show like Faith in the Zone. This is Faith in the Zone on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
More now of Faith in the Zone, discovering people of sports and their walk in faith. Faith in the Zone is brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church. Back with host Mike McGivern and Pastor Ken Keltner on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
All this time. Covered me.
Welcome back to Faith in the Zone on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Mike McGivern alongside Pastor Ken Keltner from Brookside Baptist Church. Our special guest, Joe Philbin. He's a former coach for the Green Bay Packers, Dolphins, Colts, some college teams as well. Hey Joe, before we get into to kind of your walk and testimony, what are you doing nowadays?
Well, I'm, I'm consulting with the officiating department in the National Football League. I'm going to New York City basically on a weekly basis, not the whole week. I go in that command room where all the instant replay plays are evaluated. And it's kind of an interesting perspective. It's certainly a different perspective than coaching. It keeps me involved in the game, you know, of football. I get to look at the various new trends offensively, defensively, and, and just working with some of the guys in the department in regard to educating them on, nuances of the game itself from a coaching perspective. So it's a nice way to, stay involved in the game. It's given me a little bit of free time. I went to my first wedding last weekend in the fall in history, which was fun. It was a family wedding, and all my children were able to get there too. So it's been different, but it's been good.
They have a hard job, don't they, Joe? The officials.
Yeah, it's not easy. Yeah, things happen fast. The obviously the NFL athletes are outstanding. They're quick. The speed of the game is really as good as it's ever been. And so, they have to make decisions quickly and hopefully accurately. And so, it's not an easy job for sure. And, I think sometimes the thing that gets lost is, players, there's very rare that a player plays a perfect game. It's very rare that a coach coaches a perfect game, and same thing I think with officiating. So the key is let's see if we can make as few mistakes as possible, right?
And I'm sure folks would be encouraged to know that there's a a former coach who's trying to help them learn, and to that they're willing to be educated in that area, because it's always so critical. I mean, and they've really seemed to have been more upfront since last year's playoffs,
Rams Saints game has put just a spotlight on these guys, maybe even more than there has been in the past. I think, correct, Joe?
Probably, yeah. I think that's accurate. And you guys know with all the technology today, it's made the job it gets scrutinized so much, and you got to remember that the slow motion that we all see on television on Sunday frame by frame happens a lot faster for those guys on the field. And so I think the good news is that they're looking to improve, right? And I think all of us wherever we are on our professional lives, our personal lives, if you're striving to improve and become better at whatever you do, I think that's a real positive trait to have. And so I think it's something that the league is looking at and doing their best to address.
You're right about scrutinizing. I mean, we live in a culture today. I mean, even as a pastor, when I'm up there preaching, I'm being scrutinized. I mean, I could say something and people are Googling it, to find out.
Yeah, I'm the leader of that club, by the way. I'm the leader of that scrutinized Pastor Ken club.
He scrutinizes his watch, Joe, to see exactly where I am time-wise.
Joe, he's a Baptist ministry. He goes long sometimes. Kickoff's coming up, man. Let's move on. Let's go.
Yeah. Right. Sounds like it's kind of payback time for you, Mike, after all those times that he attacked you after the game.
Exactly. I think, Coach, you're onto something. That's it. I'm going to be out there picketing with, hey, Joe, I'm the valet driver at Brookside Baptist Church. So I've got four or five girlfriends of 75 and above. These are my girls, and I get there and I park their cars for them, and I help them in,
and they bring him tickets to Packers games.
There are really good seats. My grandson's got to go to a Packer game. It was a preseason game, but man, for those guys to go to Lambeau with my daughter and son-in-law, they're still talking about it. It was awesome. But so I don't get in right in the beginning of service. And so then it's like, I walk in and try to slide in because I don't want Pastor to know that I'm coming in a little late. But then when it goes long, I'm like, come on, I'm pointing at my watch. Let's wrap this thing up, sir. Hey, Joe, can we talk a little bit about your background and your walk and talk a little bit about how your faith has affected your life professionally and personally?
Sure. you know, again, I think I alluded to the fact that, you know, I grew up, you know, my mother especially, who just recently passed away in March, you know, she, both her parents were immigrants from Ireland, and her dad actually passed away 3 months before she was born. Anyway, there was a, faith was a huge part of her life and our life growing up. She came from a family that was religious. She had two of her aunts were nuns. Three of her first cousins were priests. So we kidded around that, you know, some of our Sundays back in those days, we lived about an hour from where she grew up. So, you know, and where from my father was from. So anyway, on Sundays in those days, it wasn't sitting around watching NFL football. It was visiting family. And oftentimes at times we would, you know, go to the convent and would visit her aunts, or we'd, you know, spend time with family. And, you know, at 10:15 a.m., you know, I delivered the eulogy at my mom's funeral mass at the church, St. Mary's, that, you know, she went to for 54 years in a row. And we sat at the same place, you know, and eight of us piled into the station wagon. And we just, you know, we had some great memories. I mean, that's how we grew up. I remember getting in the car to drive to visit our family. And, you know, my mom would say a prayer, you know, Our Lady of the Highway guide us. I thought she was kidding. I didn't really know there was an Our Lady of the Highways, you know. And so, you know, prayer at the dinner table. Mass was very important. Mom, we went a lot, oftentimes Monday nights to the Novena Mass at 7:30. So I think, you know, it was something in her heritage and her background and my father's as well, that, you know, just was kind of part of who we were as a family. So I think that was number one. And then number two, just the example that my mother and father set as human beings is caring, compassionate, generous, honest, decent people. Not perfect people, not, you know, people that, and they didn't, you know, they were more about, you know, utilizing the gifts and talents that we had been given to serve others and to help others. Not just, they could care less that I coached in the National Football League or if I taught third grade at Blueberry Hill School. They never cared about what my paycheck, you know, all they cared about was, you know, are you good, you know, are you good to your family? Are you good to others? Do you help other people? And things along. So I was very, very lucky that I grew up in a house where, again, my siblings were always supportive, but I had an incredible example of what good Christian people were in my mother and father. And again, they weren't perfect, nor am I, but that was something that, you know, I'm always eternally grateful for, that I grew up in that house.
We are talking with Joel Philbin, again, former coach for the Green Bay Packers, the Miami Dolphins, and the Colts, along with some college football as well. Pastor?
Coach, you know, so many kids don't have that family heritage that you were just sharing about, and mm-hmm. you know, they have all these struggles in life. One thing I picked up on that I can definitely resonate with is when you were talking about, you know, they're great examples, and yet none of us are perfect. And I, you know, I grew up in a pastor's home, and they usually say pastor's kids either end up in prison, or, you know, they might end up in the ministry. And I fought that. I fought that for a long time, ministry. I, you know, I didn't necessarily want to work with teenagers, and that's really what I felt God was calling me to do. So I did that for about 20 years after I finally said, Father, forgive me for my own stubbornness. But that whole aspect of perfection, and none of us, you know, in life can gain that, and that was the whole reason Jesus came. Because he did meet that standard of perfection that God requires, and then he put himself on that cross, and he paid for all of our sins. And I am so grateful for that message, you know, that the Scripture, you know, clearly brings out. And so when you were talking about, hey, because my dad was military, neighbors befriended him. He and my mom in South Carolina when he was at Donelson Air Force Base, and they shared with him how, you know, he could live one day with God, and you know, he was like, well, I'm not perfect. And they said, that's exactly who Jesus came to die for. He came to die for all of us that are sinners, and that's all of us. And so when you shared that, I thought, man, that resonates, you know, with me, really probably with all of our listeners, because there's not one person out there that can say they're perfect. And
right.
And yet for your, but for your mom and dad to really go back and point to the Lord and what God has been doing in their life, and to have that type of character and testimony really to the community is very important.
Hey guys, we have got to get to a break. The part of his testimony that he talked about that jumped off for me was when he utilized the term servant leadership. And that's going to be our jumping off point in segment three, because I think that says a lot, and that's so important in our community nowadays, especially for coaches to understand that role of being a good servant leader. And we'll talk to Joe Philbin on the other side of the break. This is Faith in the Zone on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Welcome back to Faith in the Zone, an inside look at people in sports and their walk in faith. Faith in the Zone is brought to you by Brain Balance of Mequon. Here's host Mike McGivern and Pastor Ken Keltner on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
All this time, you covered me.
Welcome back to Faith in the Zone on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Mike McGivern alongside Pastor Ken Keltner, Brookside Baptist Church, and our special guest, Joe Philbin, former coach for the Packers, Dolphins, Colts. He's a football guy. Been in football for a very long time. The last segment when he was talking about, you know, growing up and his parents and this family that he grew up in, and he talked about they taught us servant leadership, and I think it's important to talk to him about that. Coach, I think that you can be taught servant leadership from good families, and you know, the parents believe in that, and there are some guys that really kind of take to that and understand the role of being a good servant leader and the platform that the Lord has given you as a servant leader to be able to affect people's lives. And it seems to me like that's something that just came naturally for you. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you know, when I think back to my childhood, as I mentioned, you know, my mom was a teacher. That was her chosen profession. My dad coached Little League baseball for years and years, even years after my brother and I were done. And, you know, and then I mentioned the year at Worcester Academy with Kirk Ferentz, Mike Sherman, Ken O'Keefe, where, you know, I kind of was always – throughout my youth and early on in college, I was exposed to these people that were very unselfish people that chose their profession for a reason. And really, the reason for me in coaching and that form of teaching was to, you know, make a positive impact on the lives of the people that I dealt with on a daily basis, be it players or staff members that I was colleagues with, et cetera. So, that was just, again, you know, as you mentioned, Mike, it just seemed like that was the right way to do things. And I had so many good examples set for me by my mom and dad, by my teachers and coaches that I was fortunate enough to play under when I was younger. And they really kind of helped gel that philosophy, so to speak.
So you, Joe, you saw that really modeled there in your life. And even at the high school, I mean, when you were telling about the high school there in Massachusetts, mm-hmm. How large was the school?
Oh, it was very, very small. It was, I think there was 350 students. It was, you know, we had a great, there's a group of us that we had a really close-knit group of guys. So imagine that we were only together for 1 year. You know, it was called a postgraduate year. And so when we all turned 50 seven or eight years ago, I think 13 of us got together. I mean, we've maintained this great bond. And it was a unique school. You know, athletics were important. It was the first time all of us had left home, and we lived, you know, in the dorms together. We had study hall together. And it was just a unique, you know, kind of a unique experience. And again, because of, you know, the coaches that we had, the teachers that we had there, it made it even all that much more special. And Rick Carlisle, who's the head coach of the Mavericks, he was at the school a year before us.
Wow.
I wasn't with him at the same time, but there's been a lot of throughout history, a lot of guys involved in athletics and teaching and coaching at various levels.
That's incredible.
And we were talking to Joe Philbin again, former coach of the Green Bay Packers, Dolphins, and Colts, and some college teams. Hey Joe, I don't mean to take this this interview to a tough spot, but I'd like to talk a little bit about. There's been some really tragedy in your life, and your son Michael had passed away on January 8th of 2012. And since we're talking about our faith on Faith in the Zone, that time in your life, and certainly your family and your wife's life, must have been a very difficult time. And I'm wondering how you were able to maybe utilize your faith to get through that very difficult time when your son Michael passed.
I don't know that there's anything you could, I think the loss of a child is, there's not really any words you can use to describe that loss. Before that, I had I had gotten this book. I don't know if you guys have ever heard of the book, 10 Prayers That God Always Says Yes To. And it's not a Catholic book. It's not a Baptist book. It's not a specific religious book. But it's and I had read the book before, and there's a prayer in there that says, God, bring good out of this bad situation. And I don't know that you can have a worse situation than that. There have been, some good, we've had friends that have become really great friends of ours that have emerged out of that situation. Again, it's indescribable. Those days, the couple of days were just hard to put into words. The funeral that we had was beautiful, was incredible. It's tough. But at some point in time, we believe that we're all going to be together again. Mm. I say that, every day. Diane and I also had a child. Diane carried a child for 9 months. We had a daughter. We had five sons in a row. We didn't know. We never knew what the sex was going to be before the birth. And then our last child, we kind of wanted to know. So we knew it was a daughter. So we kind of had her name picked out already. And, Diane carried the child for 9 months. We lost her in 1999. So we've been through some things, and there's a prayer I say every day that just in the own, quietly, or that one day I'm going to hold them both again, and we'll all be together. And so it's you wish it didn't happen, obviously, but I don't have a great explanation why it happened, but it did. And we're gonna keep the faith and keep moving on and keep trying to be better people and do the best we can with all the, great things that have happened to us. We just want to, keep moving forward as best we can. But it was tough, but there's definitely, things that, there's another prayer in that book that, it says, God, make me an instrument of your peace. And so when we were in Miami, at one point in time, we were friends with, the Catholic priest of the Dolphins lost a brother to suicide. And so, we went to visit his parents, Diane and I, a couple of days later, because we had lost a child. And so fast forward, 3 or 4 months after this whole thing happened, we got a letter from the mom and dad. And in the letter, in the first line, it said, thanks for being an instrument of the Lord's peace. You can't always, have things exactly the way you want things. I think Lord God knows what you need more than what you want, right?
That's a good point.
Let's just be honest. I mean, you know, I interviewed for the head job of the Green Bay Packers 9 months ago. Did I want the job? Yeah, absolutely. I guess, do I really need the job? No, I can still survive and, and hopefully thrive without the job. So, you know, I think that's just, you know, that's part of life. We all deal with, you know, everybody has them. We're not alone in that respect, but certainly feel for those of us that have lost children.
Yes. My wife, Kathy, and I, we lost two through the whole pregnancy issue. And somebody came up to me after our first one that was so hard for us. And he said, Ken, you have one in the land of the living, and you and Kathy are here in the land of the dying. And I said, that's a good perspective for us to look at with that. You know, Coach Dungy was on with us with Faith in the Zone, and I know, you know, he went through a tragic time with the loss of his son. Were you able to connect with each other through those times?
Just a little bit, not a lot though. Quite frankly, he lost his son, I think, what, back in 05 or 06 or something, quite a bit earlier than I did. But you know, briefly, I think we did. But it is, you know, it was a very again, a hectic time. I think I became the head coach of the Dolphins, you know, a week after the funeral, and so you know, it was just kind of certainly a challenging time to say the least.
Hey, you're going to change subjects a little bit. The change of you living in Green Bay and then taking the head job in a place like Miami, I mean, I don't know if two cities can be any polar opposite than that. The good transition for you guys to be able to go out to go down south to Florida from Green Bay and be the head coach there. Do you look at those years fondly, Coach?
Oh, yeah. Sure. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, I had been a head coach, assistant coach for a long time.
Right.
And, you know, the opportunity to be a head coach was something, again, I wouldn't have, and I think I said it in my interview, I wouldn't have looked at my 28 years as an assistant as a waste of time had I never become a head coach or had I got out of coaching, period. But, I thoroughly enjoyed it. Again, I'm sure it's very similar in other professions, but you get to meet an awful lot of really wonderful people in the National Football League. People that aren't the, you know, people I'm talking like, you know, security people, equipment people, medical people, people that nobody knows about, that no, you know, people aren't reporting about on ESPN or making all, you know, headlines, but they're wonderful people. They're caring people. They're hardworking people. So, you get to meet a lot of great people then, and that was certainly the case in Miami. And we enjoyed living there. You know, we were actually up closer to Fort Lauderdale than we were to Miami, where we lived and where our facility was. And not that there's anything wrong with Miami anyway.
Nope.
But and quite frankly, what was nice a little bit was, you know, you could drink a cup of coffee outside year-round. not even the beaches or anything like that, but just to sit out in the fresh air at that period of time in our lives was good. So we met a lot of wonderful people and certainly zero regrets about going down there, yeah.
No doubt. Well, when you're sitting outside sometimes in Green Bay, that coffee just freezes over, man.
you get iced coffee.
Oh man! Hey, we're up there. I was up there last either January or February for an event that was right across street. It was at the Lodge Kohler, and one of my clients, Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, had kind of their president's club, and I got a chance to speak along with Wayne Larrivee was there, and my brother was there, and it was about a block. We had to walk from the hotel to get into this facility, and it was the coldest night of the year. And that one block, I'm telling you, it was the hardest one block walk of my entire life. I'm getting too old, and I think my blood's getting a little bit thin nowadays. So I if you get another job in Miami, Coach, you should take me with you. That's what I'm thinking. We're going to get to a break. Other side of the break, we'll finish up. This has been a great conversation that we've had with Joe Philbin. Again, former coach for the Packers, Dolphins, and Colts. along with some college teams, was the offensive coordinator when the Packers beat the Steelers on February 6, 2011. We're going to talk to him about that game on the other side. This is Faith in the Zone on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Back to Faith in the Zone, a journey on how people in sports walk in faith. Faith in the Zone is brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Here's host Mike McGivern and Pastor Ken Keltner on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
All this time, you covered me.
Welcome back to Faith in the Zone on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Mike McGivern alongside the head pastor of Brookside Baptist Church, Ken Keltner, our special guest. It's been a great guest, Joe Philbin, former coach for your Green Bay Packers, the Dolphins, Colts. Hey, I want to thank the guy who helped me set this up. He's been a friend of mine for a long time. His name is Todd Zangle, and Todd's a pretty good guy. In fact, he's a really good guy until you get on the basketball floor with him. Man, he thinks he's a good defensive player. He thinks he gets in the gap and kicks it. Man.
He throws up crazy shots.
I'm wide open. Pass me the ball, Zangle. And he just kind of shakes his head. But I want to thank Todd Zangle. He reached out and he said, hey, do you take recommendations for Faith in Zone? I said, of course. It's the most difficult part of doing this show. And we're just about to celebrate year six. Pastor, by the way, congratulations on that. And I said, we need to have guys. I need recommendations. He said, how about Joe Philbin? And I text back. I said, the Joe Philbin? He goes, I don't know who the Joe Philbin is, but this is a guy that he worked for the Packers and the Dolphins. And I go, yeah, that's the Joe Philbin. Sure, I'd love to reach out to him. So Todd Zangle, thank you very much. Hey, Coach, when you look back at that Super Bowl, winning the Super Bowl against the Steelers, you know, I've got to believe that all of the time that the sweat equity you've put into this game of football, that has got to be one of the best memories that you have for your career. Is that correct?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was a great, you know. Hey, look, I've kind of been on the whole spectrum in terms of when you coach for 35 years, you're going to be on some incredibly successful teams, and you're probably going to be on a couple of teams that didn't win a lot of football games, and certainly that's been the case with me. But I was lucky in Division III to be on a staff that won a national championship. I coached at Harvard, and we won the Ivy League championship. Was at Iowa, we won the share of the Big Ten championship. So, but certainly, you know, in the National Football League, being a part of a team that claims the ultimate prize, everybody starts, July 28th or whatever with high, aspirations and goals, and to go through the ups and downs of a season and deal with adversity and set back and yet find a way to stay together and then ultimately win a Super Bowl is just a great experience. So it certainly was definitely one of the highlights of my coaching career.
Hey, Coach, one of the questions I love asking either coaches or players from Major League Baseball and the NBA and NFL, did you find it was easier to walk worthy in your faith inside the locker room or outside the locker room? And the question is, sometimes, especially when you're talking to Major League Baseball players, because they go from single A to double A and double A to triple A, and they're on the road so often that they'll be gone for 10 days in a row, that they would say, look, sometimes it's easier to walk worthy outside of the locker room when I surround myself with fellow believers and people that I trust. And I'm wondering, in an NFL locker room, was it easier for you to walk worthy inside that locker room because there's a lot of fellow believers, or outside the locker room?
That's a great question, Mike. I don't know that I haven't ever really thought of it in that respect. I've always, I think the real people that you admire, and even in coaching or players or, in whatever walk of life there is people that are kind of authentic and natural in both at home and work. It's kind of, they don't look at it differently. They kind of, their values stay consistent. In other words, they're not kind and compassionate to their own, just at their own house with their children and family, and then cutthroats in business. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So I don't know. I'm kind of a person that, as I mentioned about Coach Ferentz earlier, in terms of his demeanor when we were 1-11 and 11-1. I mean, you know, I think you have to. There have to be certain core principles that you live your life by that, you know, transcend where you are. And, you know, so I always, you know, again, I'm 58 years old. I hope to be a better, you know, if I get back into coaching, I hope I'm a better coach next year than I was 2 years ago. I hope I'm a better parent. I hope I'm a better believer, a better Christian next year. So I just think you try to, I don't know. I've never really separated the two or thought of it in those terms. And I think I think it's best if we can kind of live our values wherever we are, professionally, you know, in that environment or in a home environment or wherever.
Joe, that is a great perspective. And it reminded me of my dad, who went home to be with the Lord about 3 years ago on Thanksgiving Day. He said, "Ken, there is no difference as a believer in the between the secular and the sacred, for all ground is holy ground as you walk and you serve and you want to live for him. And God gives you a platform no matter where you are. I mean, you might not be a head coach of a national football team or whatever,
right,
but you still have influence." And that was one thing, Mike, when we were talking with Coach Dungy, that just kept coming out, and it kind of comes out in his book about this whole idea of platform. You know, and his whole journey of faith began really probably with John Stallworth and the Steelers. But he said, then God gives you this platform, and then you have this level of influence. And how you live that how you live your life, either is going to glorify God or it's not going to glorify God. So I liked your perspective and how you shared that, Joe, because that's exactly authentic is the word you use. And people want to be around authentic Christians, that's for sure.
Hey, Pastor, we've just got 2 minutes left, but I have to tell you that you and Joe have something really in common.
Okay, you're going to be funny guy.
Yeah, there's nothing funny about this.
I know exactly where he's going with it, Joe.
Hey, Joe, I'm looking at a picture of you and your family, and you all kicked your coverage by a while there with your lovely wife, Diane, and you and Pastor have that in common, because he outkicked his coverage a long way, too. And what a beautiful family you have. Joey, are you guys back now for the most part here in the Midwest?
Yeah, we still have our home in Green Bay. And like I said, I'm just kind of commuting back and forth to New York City, and, which is great. It's a great city to be in. You know, like I told you, Mike, the other day, I went to St. Patrick's Cathedral's about 4 or 5 minutes from the NFL League office. So it's a wonderful place to just pop in and visit. And, but we still live in Green Bay. We still have a lot of, you know, we were fortunate. We have some great friends, lifetime friends, both that, you know, we were affiliated with the Packers, and then just, you know, our neighbors from our old neighborhood, and friends that of parents of our kids that we, you know, all went to games with, and all those types of things. So we've been very, very lucky, really, everywhere we've been. We had great friends in Iowa City. And so, we've been blessed that way. And, we're going to see. We'll see what the future holds. We're excited about the future. I'm not exactly sure where that's going to lead us. But, I have faith that, I'll be at the right spot with the right people. And hopefully, in whatever it is, if coaching's over and the situations just aren't right, there was a couple opportunities this year I looked at and maybe could have kept coaching. But they just didn't quite feel like the right situation. So we'll see. I mean, we'll take it one day at a time, but very optimistic about the future and looking forward to it.
Yeah, one thing the Bible says on that is, if we don't lean to our own understanding, but in all of our ways acknowledge him, that God will direct our steps. And so we know that that'll take place. Hey, we're just about out of time, but could you just share with me one quick instance of a high school or college game that you thought, man, that was a great play, or that was a game I'll remember? We only have a short time. Can you think of something quick, Jim? Or Joe? Joe.
I'm trying to think. I mean, unfortunately, I was beyond average as my own my own athletic prowess on the football field.
What position did you play?
Tight end. Yeah.
All right.
Tight end. Yeah. But so I was more a backup, to be quite honest with you. So there was no last second touchdown that that I could tell you about. But it's kind of been part of my journey as being the thing. And the thing that you miss when you're not involved is, and I think probably Pastor, you probably get a lot of satisfaction out of, you know, you're part of a church. You're part of something bigger than yourself, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, when you're on a team, it doesn't really matter who's the, you know, maybe gets the headlines. It's all about contributing to the team and the greater good for everybody. And so that's what I've always enjoyed about whether I was on the team as a player myself or being a coach is, you know, just, you know, being part, contributing, you know, working as hard as I can for the success of the whole, and having fun doing it and enjoying it.
Hey, Coach, thank you so much. I'm sorry to cut you off, but we are really out of time. Pastor, thank you. What a great show. Joe Philbin, thank you so much and continued success, and looking forward to catching back up with you on the road. And really, I appreciate the time for Faith in the Zone. Again, he's Joe Philbin, former coach of the Packers, Dolphins, and Colts. This is Faith in the Zone on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
You've been listening to Faith in the Zone with host Mike McGivern and Pastor Ken Keltner. You can hear Faith in the Zone every Sunday at 8 a.m. To find past shows, exclusive podcasts, or to contribute with an inside tip for a guest, simply go to faithinthezone.com. Faith in the Zone is an inside look at people of sports and their walk in faith. Join us again next Sunday for Faith in the Zone, right here on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Was it really amazing grace? Now I know for certain, Lord, it was you that rescued me.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.